Love never fails. Let me ask you, when two persons get married and they make a marriage vow, they say, I love you forever until my last breath, a few years later, guess what? Love failed. I don't know why. Why is that? I mean, first of all, you plan everything. You plan perfect, and it's failed. Now, we go back to this love chapter. Love never fails. How do we try everything, and it's failed? Now, that's where you go back up to the 15 point. Do we do all those 15 points? Now, if you're trying to do all that, you're probably going to pull your hairs out of your head. I mean, it's tough. Love is tough. It's not easy. Now, you think it's easy? I mean, but the Paul trying to teach us, it's hard, but we need to endure. We need to continue. Don't give up. No, if you give up, you know, there's a 15 step to go up. I mean, if it comes to 10 steps, oh, forget it. I'm going to step down. I'm going to jump out of this relationship. Well, you're going to kneel the person. You're going to try to step 15 step up again. And guess what? You're not going to reach 15 step in here anymore because you always want to give up. But Paul said, endure. Love's never failed. Continue. You know, some of those soap opera or those movie, when a girl tried to fall in love with this guy, loving so much, you know, I cannot live without you. Do not leave me. Do not go away. And if you do, I wait for you until you come back. And if you don't come back this year, I wait for next year. If you don't come back this life, I wait for you next life. You heard about that? Now, you think that's crazy. Is that girl crazy? Would you do that? Probably not, right? But help me out here. You got to understand, she loved that man so much that she will wait. And her love never failed. So other may fail, but she never failed. Now, think about Jesus Christ. He loved us as a first love. And some of the people decided, forget about the first love. I'm going to find a next love. But Jesus constantly waiting for you and I to come back. He waits so long that he cannot wait. He's going to send a messenger to come to see you and bring you back. And you stone that messenger. But he decided, you know what? I'm going to come to see that person. I'm going to see the one I love, the one I created. But guess what? Some of the people decided to crucify him. My friend, Jesus never failed. He loved you. Doesn't matter what you do to him. Judas, God still loved him, even though he betrayed Jesus. He loved Peter. Even Peter rejected him. My friend, Jesus loved. And that's why Paul tried to pen this down, say, love never fails. If you understand the definition, if you understand what God's love is all about, you will do likewise. Now, my friend, I know sometimes we try to do by the letter of the law or by 15, these things or 15 steps, you're going to step into it. You know, you're not going to make it. If no Holy Spirit, no power of Holy Spirit working in you, you're not going to make it. You have to pray constantly. You know, every single step, you know, you have to kneel down and you pray about it. And if you try to walk on your bare foot, you're not going to make it. Walk on your knees, you will make it. And so turn with me to another text here and try to understand some of the idea before we go on the couple of verses here. Turn with me in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19. And starting verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Here's talking about the rich young ruler. Verse 16 says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, perfect teacher, what good shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now this young man, rich young ruler, he have all the money in the world. He keep all the Ten Commandments as the Bible teach him. And he come to Jesus and say, you know what? I'm probably finished. I probably complete perfect. But you know what? I'm going to come to see this good teacher and see what else he have to say. And so he said, good teacher, you know, I done all this here. How can I achieve eternal life? And so he said to him, Jesus says to him, say, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Only God is good. Only God is perfect. Only God is complete. But if you want to enter, if you want to enter life or have eternal life, keep what? Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Now, I'm sure that Rich Young Girl said, put a smile on his face. You know, well, that's easy. It's only 10. Only 10. Well, I know that the Jews probably changed that into 613 commandments. But, you know, it's 10. It's easy. And so, this is what Jesus said. He said to him, which one? Which of the 10 that I need to do perfect? I mean, I keep all of them. Which one? And so, this is what Jesus said. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. And you shall not bear false witness. On and on. And all you know, this is top 10 commandments. Okay, not just one idea about love. This referred back in Ten Commandments. And so let me move to the verse 20. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? I mean, he tried to ask the question, you know, I've done everything. I probably lack of nothing. Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be complete love, if you want perfect love, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, here it is. This young, rich young ruler tried to keep the law and tried to do perfect. And I'm sure by the letter of the law, by the word of God, he do it. He did it. But not by the Spirit. If you really love that person, go sell everything. Everything. Surrender everything and follow Jesus. You see, I'm trying to point it out here that God, when he penned the Ten Commandments, he wanted you to understand about the spirit of love. Thou shalt not kill. Doesn't mean, you know, okay, I won't kill. But more than that, see, love him. If you hate him, you're ready, kill him. Right? And so that's what we've been studying. And that's why the spirit of love is coming in. You got to not only follow the 15 step that Paul pointed out about love, but you have to keep it in the spirit. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love never fails. But whether there's prophecy, they will fail. Whether there's tongue, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, first of all, Paul tried to sum up in verse 18, said, love never fails. But there's something in the word fail. If you don't follow what Paul's teaching here, you're going to fail. And these are the things you fail because the world will follow these things. And listen to me now. You will fail if you follow some of the world standard. Okay? First thing here say is that whether there's prophecy, is fail. Now, I know some of you love prophecy. Oh, my prophecies are perfect. I mean, you cannot live your life with prophecy. You want to go every day to learn about prophecy. You know, I came to this church through prophecy. I don't want to say anything negative about it. But prophecies alone, without love, you fail. And so, there's what things in prophecy will fail. Okay? What I mean by this, and you know, this text, translation is just write a little different way. But what I'm trying to say is prophecy will be done away with. No more. When you prophesy something and people learn about it, excited about it, but when already fulfilled, guess what? You don't think about it anymore. Right? And so there's a time prophecy is finished. You do not need to know anymore. It's not going to last forever. That's what Paul is trying to say. Prophecy is not going to last forever. When you go to heaven, do you really need prophecy anymore? No. Everything will be fulfilled. The purpose of prophecy on this earth, to give the sign of his coming, to help you aware what is something coming up that you need to watch out for. Whether there's tongue, there will be cease. That means if you can have a speaking tongue, God say there will be period, stop. You don't need it anymore. Now, speaking in tongues, people are translated in two different ways. As you speak in tongues, that means you speak the language of other that you do not know. Or speaking tongue is a language of God. Now someone say, you know, if I could not speak in tongue, that means I don't have the Holy Spirit. Is that true? Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot speak in tongue. And people speak in tongue, that means you don't understand. You speak the language of God. Only God can understand what you say. That's an interpretation. Now, the Bible says that there will be a time the speaking tongue is ceased. This means no more. Now, if believing that speaking tongue, that you speak in the language only God knows, why do you go to heaven, you speak in tongue, and God says this? You don't need to do that. So speaking in tongue by only God can understand, or some language that unknown, that is not correct interpretation. Because it will be ceased. We will stop. So speaking tongue here, that means you have knowledge. You can speak many different languages. How many people speak more than three languages? Oh, okay. You think about more than one, huh? You think about more than one? Okay. You see, people think if they can speak in tongue, you can speak many languages. You have so much knowledge. You know what? That's not happening. It could be stopped. By the time you go to heaven, do you need to speak the language? Sir, do you need to speak Vietnamese for me to understand, or I speak Vietnamese, you understand? No. No way. We don't need it. We speak the same language. Before the time of Babel, everyone speaks the same language. My friend, that will stop. But here now, love continue. It's not going to stop. The next point is this here. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, in this world, we try to accumulate or acquire so much knowledge. How many degrees do you want to get? You know, how do you get a bachelor, get a master, get a PhD? How about another PhD? How about another one, another one? People want to get so many degrees, and they're going to hang in their room and their office, and they're so excited about it. But when I come to this text, say, you know, those degrees, those certificates, those books that you've been reading, you're going to stop, no more. No more study. You like that, no more study? No, as long as we live on the earth, matter of fact, you better study. You keep learning. Now, the Bible didn't say that we stop learning, right? But it said the knowledge that the world tried to acquire, that you want to get, it can stop. I remember I was a computer engineer, and we designed a wonderful thing that we're going to put a pattern on it. You know what? In AT&T, that we put a pattern on it. Guess what? A year later, that is obsolete. No one want to steal that pattern. Now, my friend, I waste so many years just get that thing out the door to get sale in the market, whatever. Guess what? It's no longer important. This text tried to teach me. He said, you know, what you do in this world, let me stop. It's not important anymore. And so if knowledge is not going to last forever, if you speak another language, acquire all the language you know, all the wisdom you have, or even know prophecy, or know the Bible, know everything, if the Bible says you're going to stop, would you spend the rest of your life to learn all that? Probably not. But if love has never failed, it's continued forever, then you probably want to spend time on that. It's worthwhile. Read a book that will never obsolete. Do you write to rather read a book and you know next year is no one want to talk about it? No. That's why I see some people say, okay, Pastor, if you want to do that, then what do you mean by read a book that never obsolete? Read the encyclopedia? Learn everything? That's what, my friend here, love never fail. And those 15 steps of love continue. With the Holy Spirit, we're helping you to step into it. Now, verse 9. Now, let me go back to verse 8. You know, talking about tongue and prophecy and knowledge. All that is a gift, a spiritual gift. You notice that? Because verse chapter 12 before that is talking about spiritual gift. Right? For example, verse 28 of chapter 12 say, and God appointed these in the church, the first apostles, second a prophet, and the teachers, and miracles, and healers, and administrators, and speaking tongues. All that going on. Okay, so we know the spiritual gift. So Paul tried to follow with chapter 13 to say that, you know, yes, you have all that spiritual gift, but if you have not love, if you don't have love, it means nothing. You can be a great evangelist and speak in prophecy, talk about prophecy, but you have no love, it's meant nothing. If you have a gift of caring and loving other people, sell everything you have, but you have no love, it's meant nothing. That's what Paul trying to point out. Okay, verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. What does that mean? Now, each one of you only probably have a little, one or two spiritual gifts. Now, you don't have a complete gift of the church or the big picture that God wants you to have. Now, if I have a gift of preaching and you have a gift of healing or you have a gift of speaking tongues, what have you, and here we only do in part, right? If I'm preaching and no one listening, because you wouldn't care about it, and it's not complete, it's not in part. And so the Bible says this is, we only know in part in our knowledge, and we only prophesy in part. It's not complete. And some of the people in Corinthians say, you know what? We know about this. We can do this. It's complete. The Bible says no. Well, turn back with me in the 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 says this, and if anyone think that he knows anything, if you think that you know everything, that means if you have a gift of the evangelist, that means you have a church. If you have a gift of knowledge, that means you have the truth. You don't need anything else. But the Bible says that if anyone think that he know anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. My friend, there are many things we don't know. Okay? Many things that we're still learning. And that's what the Corinthians church, they think they know everything. They learn one thing, they have one gift, and they think they're complete. And that's why Paul tried to point out in chapter 13. Now, some of young people, when they first graduate from high school, they say, well, I know everything. I'm 18 years old now. I'm going to enter the world. I'm going to win the world. And they go out and they fail and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to win the world. I'm going to go back to college. I'm sure if I get a bachelor, I'm going to win the world. I got made. And they go get a bachelor. After they finish, what? Gee, it's so hard out there. I couldn't find a job. I'm going back to school and get my master's. I'm going back to school and get my doctorate degree. My friend, that's what happened. You see, the more you know, the more you grow, the more you learn, you find out that you don't know enough or you don't know much yet. But those people have not acquired the knowledge, you think you know everything. Now, that teach you, guy, especially a young kid or a young person, I know that because that's what happened to me. You know, when I get an engineering degree, I'm going to be a millionaire. By the time I'm 30, I'm going to retire. And here I'm 50 years old, I'm still working. You know what? The more you learn, you find out you don't know. You want to learn more. And that's what Paul tried to teach to the Corinthian church. You know what? There's a lot of things you don't know. I talked to you about these love here, and some of you probably stand up and say, you know, I've already done all that. But no! Verse 9 says, you only know in part. You only prophesy in part. You only speak in tongue in part. You only know so much. There's many things else you have to learn. And so people say, well, how long? How long should we learn? How long should we exercise? Verse 10 says this, but that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now, this is a hard verse. I'm struggling with this verse here. What Paul tried to say right here? But, you know, he explained a few things, but then he said, but, that means you got to listen, you got to watch it. When that which is perfect has come. Now, some translations say this, when which is complete have come. Now, that's a pretty good translation right there. Which is, the one that is incomplete is do away. So when complete thing has come, and what you have incomplete is do away with. Now, some preacher mentioned about this here. Completeness is here is talking about the love. The love do you have? Have you been working all these 15 steps? Is it complete? Now, if not complete, when the completion of Christ will come, you will continue to complete. That means incomplete will be gone. Whatever incomplete you have done, I only stepped into step 4 and 5, God is so sorry, I couldn't make it anymore. Well, when God comes complete, He's going to help you to step the rest of the step. Okay, that's one way. Another interpretation is saying this, when Christ comes in second time, when perfect has come, when Christ's perfect love come to this world, then what is imperfect in you is do away. Because God will give you a perfect love. You see, if you think like the Corinthian church thinking that I will work my way to be complete, I will work hard, that's what Paul not trying to say that. He said, you know, you cannot go on your own. You cannot complete all this on your own. Because each one of you only have a portion the spiritual gift God given you. And God work with you to help you complete that. Now, don't get me wrong that you only have a portion of love character here. You know, God says you got to have all. Because if you miss one of our 15, you didn't make it. It's not complete. Right? If just one thing out of this 15 step, it's not complete. I guarantee if one of them left out, you have a complete failure in your marriage, in your relationship, in your co-workers' relationship. Everything, my friend, it's got to be perfect. But perfect in Christ, Christ will give you the Spirit. And God said, I promise you, when perfect has come, when complete things I come, I will give you. And so you will be complete, a perfect love. Now we live in the world that smears away the definition of love. We live in the world say, you know, we live to push ourselves up to be successful in life. And God says, if you push yourself up, I will push you down. Let me push yourself up. Let me help you. God asks you to endure. God asks you to forgive. All these characters of love is so important. But Satan comes behind. He smears all these characters of love. He said, don't do that. If you do that, you'll be a failure in this world. That's right. You see, that's what Satan tried to do. You say, no. If you do like Christ, you will be perfect. You will be made in this world. And so God said, depend on me. God said to you, depend on me. I will help you. Do not depend on the world. Do not read the headline of the world to follow the world standard. How to be success. How to gain knowledge. How to have perfect love. It's not. And I go through all these 15 steps with the church. That every single step, just like the commandment of God, Satan come behind and switch them. Same thing, 15 step right here, Satan come behind and going to switch them. Okay? If you put that equation in, you understand why Satan switch them. Because he the one to have this love, because God is love. He's opposite. Jesus come here to love and save. And he come here to, God, Satan come here to hate and destroy. That's what God come here, come this earth and live and die for you to see what perfect love is all about. You know, to show love, you gotta sacrifice, a great sacrifice. And so this chapter, I wish Paul's right here. Paul tried to encourage us, continue. But you will face difficulty, but if you do, you look in Jesus. Because he have a perfect love. When he's come into you, you will have perfect. And if you try to do this on your own, you will fail. You will fail. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. We can do it. So brothers and sisters, as we're learning this, please exercise in your relationship, in your school, right? In your workplace. And last but not least is in your church, right? In your church, exercise this. Because if we show or exercise the love that God given us, the outside, the people will know we are his disciples. Am I correct? That's what the Bible says. Let us exercise this so others can see we can reflect the love of Christ. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, our God, Lord, I know sometimes it's been hard for us to follow these steps. But you say with you, nothing is impossible. So help us to hang on that promise that we go out of this place, that we continue to practice this. We will be different when we step into this church. We'll be different in front of the world. That by the reflection of this love, they will see Jesus Christ. Lord, you said if we uplift you, will you lift you up, you will draw all men and women to you. Lord, may we do this until you come again. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.